All right, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys are having a great start to your Saturday. A little cool out there this morning. But as we continue to keep things going, I want to thank my man Joshua Sims Jr. coming on from HBCU Nightly, talking to us and recapping about the Orange Blossom Classic last week. Hell of a game between Alabama State and North Carolina Central. My man Stephen Gaither Jr. talking to us about, guess what? None other than the big matchups across HBCU football this week, and that's HBCU FCS versus HBCU Division IIs. Plenty of games going on, and one is today, Savannah State versus Southern in the Pete Richardson Classic. Good morning to everybody that's watching out there on Talk 107.3, listening to us on Talk 107.3 around the Capital City area. Good morning to everybody watching on our YouTube channel. Good to have you guys with us. Hit that subscribe button if you have not become a subscriber. And for everybody watching on our Facebook Live, good to have you guys with us. Hit that follow button on our Facebook. And as we keep today going, nobody better, right, than the namesake of the classic, of the very game that I'm asking you guys to come to today, because I'm giving away tickets to, guess what, the Pete Richardson Classic, and I'm glad to have him here on the show. Good morning, Coach Pete Richardson. Coach, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, uh-huh.
There we go. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, not too bad yourself.
Doing good, man. Good to have you on with me this morning. Beautiful day to have a game named after you. A lot of success here at Southern University. I want to just start, first of all, give you your flowers while you're here, and I believe with having a game with your namesake, you have to tell me, what does it feel like to have at a school you had a lot of success, had much success, in which they still can't forget it, coaches? It resonates within generation after generation after generation of Jaguar fans of saying, man, Pete Richardson, the Pete Richardson days, the golden era of Southern University football. But to have a game with your namesake now as the first home game of each season, how does that feel, Coach?
Well, it's exciting about having an opportunity because I was in charge of a great program, outstanding school, and they had some outstanding football in the past. And Dr. Spikes gave me an opportunity to come in and coach, and I realized that they could have played in the SWAC, had some outstanding players come out here, and of course, there's nothing like the fan base on Saturday afternoon when you come to a Southern football game.
Nothing like a fan base on a Saturday afternoon at a Southern football game. You're like this dad that spoiled all his kids, Coach, and that's what you did to the Jaguar Nation from the moment you stepped foot on campus in 93 and helped this team become a championship program, a team of the 90s, and then coming into the 2000s. You have won. And really not just won championships, you won the hearts of many of thousands of people across the nation that ultimately became Southern University Jaguars. I'm one of them, Coach. I remember being too young to actually make it to the Bayou Classic and having to watch that game on television and the legendary battles between you and Coach Eddie Robinson down in New Orleans, man. You're the only coach to never have lost to him, and considering all the success that he's had, you're the second all-time winningest coach in Southern University history behind A.W. Mumford, who in which the stadium bears his name. And so now you got A.W. Mumford Stadium with the Pete Richardson Classic on Pete Richardson Field. What was your thoughts when you realized, you know, when you started to find success at Southern? I know you're in the moment, right? You're coaching. You don't really see it. But at what point when you got to Baton Rouge did you say, man, I got something special here?
Well, I realized that you know, I watched the game, Grambling and Southern, the year before, and I'd come to New Orleans and was down in that area. And I also had a brother that was up in this area, and I had an opportunity to come to a football game. I realized that the fan base was outstanding, and of course, playing on national television, I think that's it's second to none. I thought that it laid the groundwork for the HBCs throughout the country, and people realize that the HBCs had some outstanding football players.
Five black college national championships in your day in 1993, 95, 97, 98, and 2003. Five SWAC championships in 93, 97, 99, and 2003. But you also found success at Winston-Salem before you came here. Three CIAA championships in 88, 90, and 91. And you won the division from 88 to 90. All the success that you had, your overall collegiate record is 169 victories to 76 losses, one tie. For you, with that success, Who do you contribute that to over your career in terms of what you learned and how did you learn your philosophy as a coach?
Well, first of all, I started playing Pop Warner football in Youngstown, Ohio, and had an opportunity to work up through the ranks, play junior high school and high school football. Then I went to the University of Dayton. I had an opportunity to play with the Buffalo Bills for 3 years until I messed up my knee. Then I started coaching. I think that's the thing it was a learning process. And, of course, I had some outstanding assistant coaches along the way to have the opportunity to go out and learn the game. Plus, I had the opportunity also to go to a lot of the national conventions throughout the country and talk to some outstanding coaches.
You talk about those outstanding coaches. Give me some of those guys who coached you as you came through the ranks, legendary guys who you learned from.
Well, of course, I started in high school. Jim Parisi was a coach, outstanding Pop Warner coach. And I worked up through Youngstown South, had some outstanding program from that aspect of it. And, of course, I went to play for John McVay at the University of Dayton. And, of course, Wayne Fonts was a defensive back that played in the professional ranks. So I learned the details of it. But the thing I learned more than anything else is that, you have to have some outstanding people around. Those individuals have to also have the same type of inspiration that you have towards the game and wanting to try to improve your program.
Once you got to Southern, you begin to win, and you begin to win the hearts of the thousands of Jaguar fans. The nation starts to show up. They support you on the road, at home. When did you realize this fan base was the real deal once you got here, Coach?
Well, I think I realized it was the real deal because I had watched the Bayou Classic 2 or 3 years before on national television. And I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to come down. Dr. Spikes, I met her at a meeting that I was at, and I came down. Of course, I had a brother that had worked at Southern University for a couple years before I came down and had an opportunity to be able to see them play on national television. But you understand the fan base. The people with football is exciting in this area, and the people are really committed to have an outstanding program because they travel with us regardless of what we went at throughout the country following Southern University.
Was it the food that got you, Coach? Did they get you?
Well, not only the food, but I think in this area they have some outstanding high school football players.
Yeah.
There's enough for everybody, and I think that a lot of times you have to, the programs are there and take and get some good assistant coaches and develop those athletes. And, of course, everybody wants to play on national television anyway. So you get to the opportunity to get those individuals, and they get excited about your program and want to aspire to get on national television.
Coach, I want to ask you this because this is kind of like closure for me to understand. Towards the end of your career at Southern in 2009, did it seem like the game maybe was evolving or changing? What was going on towards the end of the career once you were here at Southern?
Well, I think at the end of the career, I think we had a down year and the people were excited about playing. And, of course, at that time, you realize that you have some athletes that we were the real thing on the offensive line. And of course, going into the year, a couple of those individuals got hurt and then it came out what it was. But those players understood that the people around them was going to come watch you play, and they're committed to have an outstanding program, and they like to travel throughout the country.
And now you're talking about you're now on the radio broadcast, the live broadcast on the Jaguar Sports Network for the ball games, you along with Chris Powers. Last week, now this is where, you go from coach, now you're the analyst. And so now I got to go to the analyst because I do the same thing. Coach, last week, Southern versus McNeese State, 21-7. Southern found themselves for three quarters up 7-0. Never could quite add on to that. A block field goal, right off the back of the lineman, went about 40 yards the opposite way. A botched punt goes right over the punter's head and gives McNeese State short field position. For you, as you analyzed this game and called it live on the broadcast, Give me your thoughts on last week's game and Terrence Gray's first game as the head coach of the Southern University Jaguars with a tough road loss against McNeese State.
Well, I think that you look at Southern University's team, I think they have the opportunity to have an outstanding football team. Unfortunately, they found out that they have to play four quarters. They made some mistakes, especially special teams going into that fourth quarter, but they showed that they have some outstanding football players on their team, and they made some mistakes, and I think that if they can take and learn from that, because you can't bring that game back, the only thing you can do is cut down on mistakes and get ready to go for this week.
Talking about three phases of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. Special teams really broke down, and when you play in those teams, particularly like the McNeese of the FCS world, they wait on you to make mistakes, and when you do, they capitalize. You look at special teams, Coach. What would you say to a coach in his first year in order to try to alleviate those issues and fix those problems quick, fast, and in a hurry?
Well, I think what you have to do is that you, first of all, you have to explain to them that, hey, we played against an outstanding football team, was very competitive, and it's a learning process you have to go through, but you have to play for 60 minutes. And I think doing that, and that'll bring the attention, because I think they have some outstanding football players on their team, and they have to learn from it and be able to go this week, because now you're starting to play at home, and that's the first game, and people are really excited about this program, especially the direction that Coach Gray can take to his program.
Defensively, I think, was the bright spot last week. You look at Southern's defense, Kelby Givens, who was the preseason SWAC Defensive Player of the Year. You look at Davin Cotton right there in the middle. And I, myself, personally, along with Jim Kleinpeter, we had circled Southern secondary. Southern secondary, at some points last week, you kind of see receivers got past them deep down the field. The quarterbacks for McNeese just could not make those passes on the money. But overall, Southern's defense, I think, gave them the best opportunity to win last week. When you look at that defense, what was your takeaway of seeing what you remember during your days of calling it that dog day defense?
I think defensively, they have some fine players on defense. It's just a matter of developing that chemistry. And, of course, when you look at their secondary, I think all three of those individuals, four of those individuals, wasn't at Southern University last year, had very little playing opportunity, and they gave up some big plays. And I think that you can't give up big plays, especially against a fine program, because, like you said, they wait around, and you make a mistake, boom. Also, and I think the game was lost there in the first half. I think they got down on the goal line, or close to the goal line, a couple of times and didn't get any points. And eventually, it's going to come back to haunt you at the end of that game.
And then you're talking about come back to haunt you and getting down to the red zone and not being able to get any points. Noah Biden throws an interception, on a costly interception on the drive for Southern that was moving them the right way. Southern's run game, when you look between Kendrick Rhymes and Kobe Dillon, didn't quite get off the ground. Not 100 yards total for the day rushing the ball. And Southern's offensive line, when you look at these guys drop passes from the receivers, what's your thoughts on Southern's offense as a whole, with you being a guy that knows that very well?
I think offensively, they have to get more consistent. I think, first of all, Coach Frederick is going to try to establish the running game. That's his philosophy, and to set up the play-action pass. But anytime you have an inexperienced offensive line, because they lost good offensive line players off that line last year, those are the young individuals are going to have to develop. But I think that as the season goes on, they need a confidence game getting into that, just making sure that a lot of times you find a lot of players think that they're outstanding players until they get humbled. And now, all of a sudden, now it's just time to play football on your level and get ready to go.
Coach, I got to ask you this, because you've done this many times and throughout your career. What do you say to a team to stay focused against what you would consider a lesser opponent in a Division II team? But what do you say to keep these guys focused to say, hey, don't take anybody lightly. This team could come in and upset us if we don't watch out.
Well, I think what you have to understand is explaining to them that you think that you have an outstanding program and you're going against a lesser, but a lot of times, a lot of those programs have some outstanding athletes also. They just don't have enough of them. A lot of them have transfers, especially the transfer portal that came into effect, and they can pull some outstanding athletes. And a lot of those individuals, I was looking at some of the clearance they had on their team last night, and a lot of them are not freshmen or sophomores. A lot of those individuals are juniors and seniors, and anytime you get those individuals that have already been involved in the game in football and they get an idea that they can win, then they have to take it to them in the first quarter to establish the presence of what type of program they're involved with.
Coach, I got to ask you real quick. When you was at Winston-Salem today, they have a big game against North Carolina A&T. You coached at Winston-Salem, man. What is that rivalry like when you look at those two programs, Winston-Salem State and North Carolina A&T?
Well, there's nothing like it. I think those two schools are probably around 40 miles apart, right down the road. And it's almost like the Bayou Classic. You go into it, and regardless of what happened last year, when, you know, you take families that that went both places, brothers and sisters, and some of them went to A&T and some of them went to Winston, and come Saturday, everybody's excited about playing. And it's a huge game and a big rivalry, and people are excited about that game.
The Pete Richardson Classic today, this is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Coach Pete Richardson. Coach, you going to be around today? You going to interact with the people, or you going straight to the press box? What you doing?
Well, I think that I'm going to try to get there so I have an opportunity to interact with the players. I mean, with some of the fans, because a lot of those individuals meant a great deal to me. Regardless of what we played, they always was backing me. And it also gave me an opportunity to meet some of them. And also some of our ex-players will be at the game, have an opportunity to talk to them and their families. And I'd be excited about seeing some of them.
Man, I'm excited just to have you on this morning. You are a legend. You are a guy that the people love and will love forever. Your name will forever be right there ingrained in Southern University football. Many generations have come, and many will continue to know the great and the legendary Coach Pete Richardson. Coach, glad to have you on today, man. I hope to see you when I get out there, man. As always, love you, and thank you, Coach, for joining me this morning.
I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk because I mentioned before that I think Coach Graves is going to do an outstanding job. He's going to work on those corrections. Of course, when you have a number of them, it's going to be corrected overnight. It's going to take some time. And I think be patient with him because he has a fine football team and they're going to get it together.
Coach, let me ask you this. What would be the idea of Winston-Salem State versus Southern for the Pete Richardson Classic in the future? Would that really make this thing come full circle?
Well, I think any time that you have a coach that has coached at both places, and I have a huge fan base back in that Winston-Salem area, and, of course, I don't know what team I'll pull for. I'll pull for both of them. Hope both teams can win.
Man, Coach, thank you for coming on this morning. Love you, man, and I hope you have a great day. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'll give you a call once I get out to the stadium and see where, see if we can go find some food, man, and hang out a little bit.
Okay, I'll see you this afternoon sometime.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We'll be right back on the other side. My man Kevin Batiste from WAFB. We're going to talk about today's ball game, Southern versus Savannah State, and break it down a little bit for you guys. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you guys have enjoyed today's show as we keep things rocking and rolling. Man, I want to thank Coach Pete Richardson for coming on and talking with me. Hey, I'm giving away tickets. If you want to go to the game today, all you got to do is give me a call at 225-499-1073. Don't have me going to the game by myself. If you want to go, give me a call. Let me hook you up. But as we continue to keep this thing going, guess what? Got to talk about today's big game, the Pete Richardson Classic, in which it bears Coach Richardson's name. It is Southern versus Savannah State. And who I have to talk with me about that game today is going to be my man, Kevin Batiste. Good morning, Kevin.
Hi, Perry, and everybody else listening.
Hey, turn him up a little bit for me so I can hear him. Kevin, can you hear me?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you very well. Good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Sorry, I couldn't make it into the studio today. Right now, I'm in the midst of my recovery from a night of high school football. The rain came down last night, so I'm trying to rest my leg before I got to run up and down the sideline again later today.
Man, who you telling? You know, as an official, I was stuck in it last night. You talking about running. I was doing a lot of running last night, Kevin. You weren't the only one, man. Get up this morning, man. Come on.
Hey, like I said, I'm not a morning person. But with situations like this, I can still make some things happen. That's I got no problem hopping on the phone and talking to Jaguar football with you.
All right, let's jump over to last week's game, Southern University versus McNeese State. McNeese gets the victory 21-7. Southern University, in this ball game, 16 first downs to McNeese, 13 first downs. Southern University goes 7 of 18 for third down conversions. McNeese State on the other side, 7-16. Also, McNeese 1 of 2 on fourth down. You look at Southern total yards in this ballgame, 198 total yards in this ballgame, 132 passing, 66 on the ground on the other side for McNeese State, 272 total yards, 108 in the air, 164. Both teams penalized. McNeese State penalized 11 times, Kevin, for 118 yards. For Southern on the other side, penalized 10 times for 95 yards. And a lot of turnovers in this one. 5 total turnovers, 3 for Southern, 2 by way of fumbling, a costly interception in the corner of the end zone. And for McNeese State, 2 turnovers, 2 by way of fumbles. Southern University led this game in terms of time of possession, only by 31-28. But on the other side, you start to look at Southern for this. You look at Noah Biden, 12 of 26 in this ballgame, 116 yards, 1 interception, no touchdown. T-Set comes in late in the fourth quarter, goes 1 of 3 for 14 yards. Kobe Dillon, 14 carries for 51 yards. And Kendrick Rimes, 11 carries for 31 yards. Noah Biden also added 13 yards off of 6 carries. And then you look at Dupree Fuller, 4 receptions, 36 yards coming from the tight end position. On the other side for McNeese, I think we all was looking at Clifton McDowell in this ballgame, but we saw McNeese make a quarterback change in this ballgame. Clifton McDowell going 1 of 4 only for 28 yards, but he became key when those turnovers happened for Southern in that short field position in the red zone. Clifton McDowell then gets 10 carries for 65 yards and adds in 2 touchdowns. It worked best for him in short yards position. Kevin, when you look back at this game, what do you see Southern versus McNeese State? They let one get by.
Yeah, man, that's one that stinks for a while. That's one that carries over, even if it is week one. But whenever you face an in-state opponent at that, one that you've never beaten, you always want to, you know, get that extra, you know, that win, that momentum boost that can carry you on through the season. But they just didn't get it. I mean, that game, the best way to describe that game, that was the quintessential act of we don't want this game, you take it. Because neither Southern nor McNeese really seemed like they wanted it. Between the turnovers, and not just the turnovers, but they all happened like deep in their own field. Like Southern first touchdown, that was off of McNeese fumble that set Southern up with like just outside the red zone. And then we all know about the special teams blunders in the fourth quarter. The blocked field goal that we thought was blocked, but no, it just bounced off the offensive lineman's back and rolled 40 yards. The punt that went over the punter's head. Yeah, it was just a lot of bad football. And it just so happened that, you know, to be that Southern made the worst mistakes, the worst decisions in the end. Because, they, like I said on TV after the game that night, that Southern had zero business losing that game. I mean, they got the lead early, and their defense is just flat balling. I mean, like you said, McNeese did the quarterback change. They couldn't really do a long drive, and when they got close in field goal range, they never took the points. So Southern really had momentum for just about 3 quarters, and then you got the fourth quarter from hell, as I call it. Everything just went completely wrong, and, you know, this is some things that Southern has had issues with in the past. A lot of times they get inside their own head and they are their own worst enemy. And we saw a lot of that last week in Lake Charles. So, yeah, that one stung. And the silver lining is, in the grand scheme of things, you know, it doesn't matter because it's a non-conference game. You know, the things that really matter is when we get late in the season and sweat competition. But, yeah, that one will stuff stick on your deck.
Kevin, you got a second to hang on with me through a break?
Yes.
All right, let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the other side, then we'll look ahead to today's matchup against Savannah State and talk about keys to victory for Southern University. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you are enjoying today's show, because I'm enjoying giving the show to you guys. Hey, as we continue to keep things going, my man Kevin Baptiste from WAFB Sports Reporter. Say, well, you resting those knees? You sound like an old man, Kevin.
Hey, bro, I'm literally still laying in the bed right now, man.
Sound like an old man talking about up and down the field on Friday. I was chasing kids all up and down the field last night, Kevin. Look, I'm not going to lie. When I got in that bed last night, I feel like you, man. I was like, I need somebody to rub on these knees, man. Listen, as we continue to keep things going today, Southern versus Savannah State for the Pete Richardson Classic, man. You look at Southern trying to rebound last week's 21-7 loss to McNeese State, a game in which I thought it was theirs. Just didn't take advantage of that 7-0 lead throughout three quarters. And then that last phase of football that people often overlook, special teams, which is crucial, and special teams cost them the game last week. Now they have to recoup, get back on track. You pay Savannah State for these types of games to get back on track. But nonetheless, as we've seen, these Division II teams sometimes you cannot overlook. When you look at today's ball game, Coach Graves trying, this is his first test of adversity as a head coach to see to get his team back on track for the Pete Richardson Classic. You look at this team coming into this game, Kevin. What are your keys to victory for Southern coming to today?
Well, let's start with the offense. I mean, it's quite simple. I mean, after the showing they had in week one, I mean, only scoring 7 points and not really putting up that much yards. I mean, you got to come out against an inferior team and come out and score a lot of points. I mean, people still have a lot of bad taste in their mouth from seeing that game. And I'm pretty sure they know the offense all throughout the week. We talked to Noah Bowden and Dupree Fuller, just two of the guys on the offense. They was like, yeah, we gotta get this taste out of our mouth. We got to come out. Even though that they're playing a Division II team, I mean, they don't really care who the opponent is. They just have to come out and score a lot of points, score yards, put on a show. And, you know, you can't go outside in the home opener in the Pete Richardson Classic. So that's really the main key. I mean, defensively, I mean, just keep doing what they was doing last week. And special teams, yeah, as you mentioned, another key component of the game, you know, make your field goals and don't have all those errors that they were having.
Let me ask you this, and this is an honest conversation to have with somebody. Looking at the play call of Coach Mark Frederick in his first year at Southern University as the offensive coordinator, what would you grade it? And I'm putting you on the spot from an A to an F. You're the sports guy, so you know football when you see it. Where do you grade that play calling for you and what you saw at McNeese?
Yeah, you up on me on the spot. I've never really graded the play calling from a – let me see here. I mean, it wasn't good. I wasn't impressed. So I guess I'll say C minus.
A D minus.
I say C minus. Oh. C minus, maybe.
Okay, he passed.
I mean, I guess. I mean, C's get degrees. I mean, there were plays that were there. I mean, they didn't take many deep targets down the field. I mean, the run game couldn't get going. But looking back at it, there were some plays that were there. And Noah just made some bad decision-making. Like, well, I remember one play specifically in the fourth quarter. He had Quay Davis was wide open on like a post, you know, going to his right. Like, there was, like, nobody within 10 yards of Quay Davis, and Noah just missed him. I did like the involvement of the tight ends. I will say that.
I
saw more involvement from Southern's tight ends in that one game than probably all of the last 2 years combined.
Which I think, why you see Ethan Howard back all of a sudden, right?
Exactly. And I can't wait for him to get up to speed, because he had a monster freshman year in both the spring and the fall season.
And yeah, you look at Noah Biden, there were plays left out there. What do you like to see in his game? Let's first say, what do you like in his game? And then second, what do you like to see him get better in his game?
What I like in Noah's game?
Yeah.
I like that he's a risk taker. I like that. I like gunslingers. I mean, he's not afraid to make those throws. I mean, you don't want your quarterback throwing interceptions, but I mean, you know, you'll live and die with him taking the chance. So that's one thing I like about him. At the same time, if you're going to do that, you can't do it too much. And that's one thing that Coach Grady said at his press on Tuesday. He felt Noah was pressing a lot. On that interception specifically, it's like, guys, you cannot throw a pass in the corner of the end zone when your receiver is double covered. Mm-hmm. And you could basically say he was triple covered, because there were two McNeese defenders around him, and his target was, like, right there on the boundary. So, I mean, he really didn't have any room to go. So that's one thing. And then – I need to see some more running from Noah. I mean, I get it. He's a tall guy. He probably, you know, he's not, you know, the dual threat. But dude, if nothing's down there and you see you got all this open green grass in front of you, take off and run. And I remember that was another play, I think, early in the game where Coach Graves really went off on him. He was like, run. Like, dude, you could have picked up the first down and we could have still been on the field. But that's one thing I need to see with Noah. But again, that was his, not making any excuses, but that was his second collegiate start. And I feel like he's still getting up to speed himself.
Let's look at the offensive line, right? Southern under 100 yards rushing. You couldn't have told me this a few years ago when you talking about running the ball. Southern knew how to run the ball, but of course, I have to get with the times. We have evolved from being that, but now trying to get back to that. Mark Fredericks is the running back coach. You look at Southern under 100 rushing yards in this game, but no doubt about it, perhaps the most talented running back room in the conference when you factor in Kendrick Grimes, Kobe Dillon. Coach said Kendrick Grimes was suspended for the first quarter of this ball game, so you get Kobe Dillon, but both these guys couldn't quite get it going. What do you equate that to? Was it them, or would you say offensive line?
That was the offensive line. I mean, really, the gaps and the holes, they weren't there. I mean, I don't think, if I recall, I don't think Southern really had a run over 10 yards. I mean, if my memory serves right, I mean, there was just really nothing to go off of. And then, I mean, like you mentioned Kendrick Grimes, I was shocked by that because I was wondering why he didn't keep running the first quarter. But then, you know, we got the reasoning. And, I mean, Kobe, I mean, he's fully healthy from that injury, but still, I mean, he's not the starter. So I feel like he's still, you know, trying to get his mojo back. I was glad to see Barry Remo score the first touchdown of the year. That was not on my bingo card.
It was on anybody. They was like, who is this kid, man?
Hey, the freshman running back scored on a fullback dive. I'm like, what?
That's some old school football for you right there.
That's old school right there. But yeah, it was a lot of running back rotations. I mean, they had at least about four guys get carries. But as you noticed, nobody really broke off a big run. So I equate that to the offensive line. I will give the O line they do in pass protection. I mean, they were better than I expected, and then they can improve on that a little bit more. They'll go places, but yeah, they have to get that run game going. So, like, that's going to be their bread and butter. They will run to set up the pass this year.
You're talking about the run game. You said the longest run. Believe it or not, the two longest runs of the game for Southern University came by way of quarterback Noah Bodden. Coach told him to run. He had the longest run for Southern, 11 yards. And then you look on the other side, T-Set came into the game. He had the second longest run of the game. 10 yards. The longest run for Dillon or Rhymes. For Dillon was 8 yards. For Rhymes, 9 yards. 14 carries, 51 yards rushing for Kobe Dillon. 11 carries for 31 yards for Kendrick Grimes, Kevin.
Yeah, that's just not going to cut it. Yeah. Unless you run a system like the Baltimore Ravens, you know, all this pistol and all that stuff, you got Lamar Jackson. And or the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. Other than that, yeah, your quarterback should not be, you know, your leading rusher in any category. So yeah, they need to get that right. So hopefully that is probably the main thing I want to see. I'm looking forward to at this game today, see how they can really establish that run game, and try to put Savannah State away early. I know, you know, games like this when you play these D2 schools, I say they're going to say they respect every opponent as they should. They don't take them lightly, but you know, you're playing a D2 school. You want to put the pedal to the metal, get a big lead early, and put some backups in late in the second half.
You know, we talk so much. We've been talking about the running backs. We've been talking about the quarterback, and we also have been talking about the offensive line. But you know what? We ain't said nothing about the receivers. These receivers, for me, that Southern have not proved it to me yet, Kevin. And, I mean, I'm looking for that, as they say, that dog, but I haven't seen it. And it was game one, right? But still, even coming out of last year, I know we had the issues with Harold Blood and the play call and the Dooley. But just for me, Kevin, I haven't seen a solid receiving core at Southern in quite some time. And that's just my honest opinion.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, whenever you bought receivers, I was like, I don't know what people can say. I mean, they didn't really do much last week. I mean, they tried to force the Chandler Whitfield at times across the middle. I remember he had that one drop. Well, I feel like if he would have caught a slant route, he could have turned it up for at least about 30 more yards. But I mean, yeah, I guess. And then they got a lot of new guys. I mean, you know, Quay Davis. I mean, working him in. I mean, Darren Morris. We keep bringing up his name as you know he has that 50-50 ball potential. But I mean, there wasn't really any opportunity. And that's one thing I would like them for Southern to do more when they get inside the 10. I mean, you got these long range receivers. Hey, bro, just get them one on one on the outside and just throw it up. All right. Who's the better man? Who can jump the highest? But now, Perry, I agree. I mean, as far as dominant receiver at Southern, I can't tell you the last time. But again, I feel like I don't know what we're gonna get this year with the receivers because they look like they're going to be a running football team, and that's gonna set up the play action with all these you know these short routes, these you know intermediate routes with the tight ends. So I don't know if the receivers are gonna eat that much this year either.
And if that's the case, I will live with the tight end all day. I promise you, I will live with the tight end all day. Hey, Kevin, I got to go take a break, man. I appreciate you for coming on this morning, man. Tell the people where they can find you at.
Oh, you can find me on all my social media pages, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, at KBetsJr. We post about a lot of content on WFB.com/sports. And obviously, y'all can catch me today on the Bluff. I'll be out there, obviously, to cover the game. I might walk around the scene a little bit. If you see me, do not hesitate to say hello. I'm always down to chat and talk some football.
Ice those knees down, Kevin. We got a long night tonight.
Oh, yeah, we here. Well, I'll see you out there.
All right, man. That's my man, Kevin Baptiste, WFB. Thank you, Kevin, for coming on. Let's get ready to take a break. Come back on the other side. We'll get ready to close this thing out. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I want to thank my man, Kevin Baptiste, coming on, talking to me from WAFB, recapping last week's game and talking about today's big game versus Savannah State. And my man, Joshua Sims Jr., HBCU Nightly, as well as my man, Stephen Gaither of HBCU Game Day. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Coach Pete Richardson, coming on and taking a moment of his time this morning to talk to us about today's very game in which it holds his name, the Pete Richardson Classic. I want to thank him for coming on and talking with us as well. Hey, I'm giving away tickets this morning. I got somebody on the line. Who we got online to?
Good morning. You got Leslie. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. And you?
I'm doing well. I take it you're trying to go to the Pete Richardson Classic today?
Yes, I am.
Well, guess what? You are going, Miss Leslie. I'm going to hook you up and get you some tickets to the Southern University versus Savannah State game. You stay on the line, Miss Leslie, and I'm going to make sure I get you hooked up. Hey, you want to shout out anybody while you're online? You got the whole city listening. Who you want to shout out?
I just want to shout out to the Jaguar Nation. Hey, Jaguar Nation.
That's what I like right there, Leslie. It's game day, baby. Thank you, Leslie. Hold on right quick. Let's get you on. Hold on. Let's go to the next hall. We got somebody else on there. We got somebody on line three. Good morning.
Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. Who we have?
Joe Bowie.
Joe Bowie, good morning, Joe. Let me guess, you trying to go to the Pete Richardson Classic today?
I am.
Guess what, Joe? You going to the Pete Richardson Classic today, man. I'm going to hook you up and get you straight, man. You want to shout out anybody out there?
I just want to say good morning to the Jaguar Nation.
I love that. Joe, how long you been a Southern University fan?
Oh, man, all my life, man. Grew up with it.
That's what I like, man. And we're going to keep this thing going, man. Joe, I'm hooking you up. You going to the Southern game today, man. I'm going to get you some tickets to the game, man. You hold on. Real quick, man, I'm going to put you on hold, man. Joe, congratulations.
All right, thank you.
All right, we got somebody else. Who we got? Good morning.
Good morning. Am I on? It's Chuck.
Chuck, what's up?
All right. I'm not going to be down there for the game, but congratulations to those winners. You all have fun and be safe. And I was calling. I'm one person that called in that attended McNeese State back in the 90s, back when they were a powerhouse. You know, you always say, you know, whatever school it is, you say such and such not going to be walking through those doors like you all probably said Southern. That was a great interview you did with Coach Richardson. He won't be walking through those doors. And, you know, Eric Randall, I came to the era of Eric Randall. He had him at Southern A&M out at McNeese in the time of Kerry Joseph, who's now a quarterback's coach of the Chicago Bears, coaching Caleb Williams. And then with the Buffalo Bills, he was wide receivers at McNeese. He's now Bills wide receivers coach is Adam Henry. You're not going to have them walking through those doors. And it goes both sides. You have to, you're in a new day and time, and it's going to take some time to try to get these programs back together. You know, that's from yesteryear, but now you have different kind of players and you have a different landscape of college athletics. I'm going to land on that one.
All right. Thank you, Chuck, man. Hope you have a good day, man.
Same to you all. You all take care and be safe.
All right. Hey, as we continue to keep things going this morning, man, I hope you guys have enjoyed today's show. Congratulations to Leslie and Joe. They headed to the Southern University versus Savannah State game today. Pete Richardson Classic. I love when we get the Southern, the Jag. When they didn't shout out, they said, I want to shout out the Jaguar Nation. That's what I love, because at the end of the day, that's what we embody. That's what this is all about. This is why we've been one of the top teams in terms of attendance in FCS football for over 40 years, right? The Jaguar Nation are the epitome of what I love to call a great and humble and true fan base. But we got to get back. Look, I've seen some dips in it. We got to get back to it. And because we got to get back to it, if you hear my voice out there and you within, as Coach Odoms used to say, a tank of gas, you better be. See, I almost went there. Did you see where I was finna rhyme? I was rhyming for a second. You better have your at AW Mumford Stadium today. Look, I get a little poetic every now and again. I almost got poetic with y'all right there. But, hey, come on over to AW Mumford Stadium. Let's show some love to Coach Pete Richardson. It is his classic. We're playing Savannah State. Next week, Jackson State, right? We got to cheer these boys on. We got to get them together. We got to show them love and support. I know it was tough last week over at McNeese State, right? It was tough. But we got to get back on track today. And getting back on track means taking care of home. We always talk about what we do when we go somewhere else. It starts right here at home, right? You have to take care of what you have here at home. We can't depend on nobody else saying, well, why we don't play this team or that team and they don't bring no fans. I don't give a I don't care. See, I'm getting poetic again. I don't care about other people's fans. I care about our fans. We got enough people in the Baton Rouge region in order to be able to take care of home. And that means taking care of home means buying tickets. Buying tickets and being sure to show up and show out. And not just sit in your seats, man. I was sitting there last week, and I'm sure a lot of people heard me yelling. Y'all sitting there looking all nice and cute and just watching it. Man, why y'all don't stand up no more? When you hear that bass drum beating saying defense, what you doing sitting down? That bass drum beating mean get up and yell defense. It don't mean just sit there and look. I yelled at everybody who was around me. I couldn't have been the only one. Y'all knew, anybody around knew I was yelling. When I said I wanted a touchdown, come on, man, what y'all doing? Have we gotten to the point to where it comes to football, we too good to cheer? Is it considered lame to get up and cheer and be a part of the game when your team needs you? That's the part I don't understand. AW Mumford Stadium is a tough place for opponents to come. But yet we sit there and we just there as though it's a, I don't know what y'all doing. Now, it ain't everybody. I'm not yelling at everybody. Some of y'all do. Y'all like Perry White. Y'all get up. You are passionate and you are involved in the game. I'm very involved in the game. I would lose my voice over a football game. But come on, man. Y'all got to stand up and cheer. You hear that bass drum, you get up. That's defense, Jags. That means the defense needs your help. That means cheer, yell. Don't wait just for a touchdown. You got to be engaged in a ball game from the first quarter through the fourth quarter. Now, I go to them other people game. They don't even sit down. But yet y'all sitting down just looking around, just want to be all cute and just, hey, how you doing? Hey, how y'all doing over there? Good to see y'all this year. You know, season ticket holder since 98. Season ticket holder since 86. Oh, yeah. How y'all doing? Man, get up out your seat and cheer these guys to victory. Stop sitting down. That's Jaguar Nation. It's more than just showing up to a game. It's engaging in a game. It's being a part of the game. It's cheering your team on beyond just a dang on touchdown. That's what I'm asking for. Is that too much to ask? Is that too much to ask for the football team? Get up. Be engaged. You ain't too good. Even the people up in the box, I'm talking to you too. I've been up there. Look, they They act like the game ain't even going on sometime up there. You got to go remind them, hey, y'all not watching the game. Oh, man, let's go. It's week two. It's college football, man. Y'all just hearing the passion in me. Y'all see, I got my jersey. If you watching, I got my jersey on right now. I got my jersey on. I got my Southern hat on. Mike telling me a break. Mike, I'm in my bag. I got another hour in me, Mike. But I'm going to follow the rules. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Pete Richardson Classic, Southern versus Savannah State. Big game today. It will be broadcast on HBCU Go TV. So if you're not able to attend the game live today, shout out to Leslie and Joe. Guess what? They going to the game. I'm going to make sure I hook them up to go to the game. The rest of y'all, get your tickets and get in that stadium, all right? Get your tickets and get into that stadium and support these teams as these guys get this victory and try to get it to head over into Jackson State next week. Man, I love y'all. I want to thank Joshua Sims Jr., HBCU Nightly, coming on talking to me. My man Steven Gaither coming on from HBCU Game Day. Coach Pete Richardson, love him to death. Thank him for taking the time for talking to us in the Jaguar Nation. And my man Kevin Batiste from WAFB. And for the rest of y'all, man, look, I love y'all, man. I'm just trying to hype y'all up and fire you up because it's game day and it is here. Week two college football. Hey, be sure to go hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel and hit that follow button on our Facebook, man. I love to have you guys support. It costs nothing to support. And we always talk about supporting black. I'm black. Support me. At a HBCU of all that, man. Come on, y'all. Let's show some love and go support Southern University and get your tickets today. And for everybody else that's out there listening, even if you're white, hey, I love to have your support too, okay? All right, let me get up out of here. I'll be back next week at the same time in the same place because always, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Jaguar Journal. Be safe.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the